I think if you're going to extend yourself this summer, you want a slam dunk player, especially a slam dunk player who you're not going to pay for past performance. And that's why Robertson is so alluring to me. He's young. He fits well within this broader core. A freakish goal scorer from the wing, which is what the Sabres sorely need. I would put the Sabres on the short list of most logical landing spots for him as a player. And then from the Sabres' perspective, I mean, I think he's at the top of the list of, like, till you say no and you sign and trade with someone else or you move him elsewhere, I'm not going to let you go without making our best and final.
Travis Yost this morning on WGR. Little inside story that at about 10:30 this morning, I texted Chris and Zach that I got Travis Yost for 6 o'clock today, I guess it was. And then Zach responded, I just got off the phone with him.
On our show.
So I told Travis, like, I didn't realize that. Sorry for this. How about next week? So Travis was like, sure, that'll be fine next week. But a leading voice.
Yep.
If you want to know things.
And I
if you like knowing things.
I love this Robertson idea. It sort of got me through the back end of yesterday's show once I sort of stumbled onto it and then go, like, oh, yeah, they could do that. And I'm glad to hear Travis, you know, thinks it's a super cool idea too. It's a lot, it'd be a lot. I mean, it's going to be a lot, if you could pull it off, you know, like there's going to have to be money going back, to make it happen. So I don't know, you know, Quinn, McLeod, I don't know.
He would be one of the best players the Sabres will ever have traded for.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. The fourth pick is – now, that's a scoring winger, so I don't know if that qualifies, if the same – you know, but he's a much – well, much more. He's a more dependable scorer year over year than Matthew Knies is. I actually like Knies' all-around game a little bit more, but he's not the player Robertson is. He cost you half as much as far as money goes. The contract is, you know – 8.5, I think, is where Knies is.
Or maybe less.
And Robertson is thought to be, I think, if a team acquires him, they're going to be acquiring him, agreeing to pay him probably $14 million a year. Like, that's what you're talking about.
It's more than $1 million a month.
It's a lot. Yeah. It's big.
Don't ever do that. Just becomes more depressing.
Yeah, I don't. I try not to.
Try not to break it down by months and weeks and days. How much money a day is that? I mean, good business to be in. Who doesn't love a spacey Icelandic songstress, by the way, Bjork? You know, it's spelled a little differently. There's an extra letter in the hockey player Bjork.
Right.
But, you know, right? Who doesn't love a spacey Icelandic songstress? Just even sight unseen.
Big fan.
You're a Bjork guy.
I saw her with her, the first band that was known to me, you know, known to North America that she was in was a band called the Sugar Cubes.
Okay.
And I saw them, I have their first record on CD. I never got the vinyl, so I don't listen to it, but I mean, I could easily find it digitally, and saw them play live once.
Where?
At like the Darien Lake of Middle Connecticut.
Darien, Connecticut.
Lake Compounds, I think, was the name of the place.
All right.
And, you know, amusement park. They played, I think I have this right, they were the opening band on a tour that featured the Ramones and Blondie. And we went to that. And so they're in Connecticut. And the singer, there was a male singer in this band too, a male vocalist. And he kept yelling in between songs, "Hello, Milwaukee!" And it was hilarious.
Like, as a joke?
As a joke, yeah. No, just you know, like.
Did he do that everywhere?
I don't know. I only saw them in Connecticut, and he just, after every song, he said, "Thank you, Milwaukee." And I thought, like, I love you guys.
That's a great bit. 803-0550. I want to say a little bit more about the Sabres. Good thing, right? We got 3.5 hours left. Situation. When it was just the beginning of the offseason, we had the playoffs end, decompress, then, all right, now what? There's a press conference, and I was much less enthused about keeping Tuck than, say, you were, or maybe most fans. I mean, we had a few really interesting callers around that time. Basically, was what's not to like here about this guy? You know, he's probably not done, even though he had a bad series, and you know, we had EJ Raddick or somebody else come on and talk about how big he is and how the value mm-hmm. of that. So I don't know. It felt a little bit like I was copping out, but my ultimate thought on it was, if I've got a GM that's really good at this, I think I can find another version of Tuck that will not scare me as he goes into his 30s, you know, on the age curve. Mm-hmm. I think I can maybe trust this guy to find me someone else who you can put with good line mate options and get value out of. That's what I wanted to see happen. That's easy to say. Like, I don't have a name for that. I just felt like...
I do.
You did.
Nice.
Well, okay.
Nice is the perfect guy for that.
That's good, right? He's younger.
Yep.
And he would cost maybe about the same or less now that Tuck is signed.
Yep.
Very, very well. So that's what I was kind of thinking would be optimal. Let him go. Cash in.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to worry about another, you know... Guy getting into his 30s,
yeah, you don't,
Skinner
you have
or
another
somebody.
Poso situation on your hands, right?
I would like to not have that risk. So I kind of want to be in the same boat right now about this all. I mean, Tuck did leave. That kind of sets it up for Kekalainen to replace him in kind.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have Byram too. I kind of just want to trust it. Signing Jason Robertson or even trading for Connor Hellebuck are big-time ideas. I mean, franchise-changing moves they would be. And I'm not, like, going to hate it, I think. It depends. Tell me what it costs. But mm-hmm. I doubt I would hate it. I think I would be completely supercharged for the season, like, all summer, if they were to do either of those things. But I still have to say I think the optimal course of action would be not to do that, especially if Robertson is going to be, like, what, a top five paid player in the league?
Yeah.
I mean, he's 26 only. Still, I think maybe this is going to end up at me basically saying, bring on Hellenius, Oslund, and mm-hmm. Kulik, you know? And I'm not afraid to say that because these guys, we've basically had this conversation every day. These are not complete unknowns. I mean, these are players that have... to different extents, demonstrated that they can play at this level, even in the postseason. I know it's so few games, but I still feel like we know something about them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wouldn't want it to stop here. I'm not expecting that it will. I don't get that vibe from the Sabres. I think, you know, kind of everybody is saying there'll be one more. Maybe there can't be two, but there'll be something. And I'm on team, let's trust that. Let's use 104 tomorrow night and see if they can't pull in a good player that you've heard of that isn't 30 and go from there.
Yep. I really do think I was talking with my son about this before I came in today. Leo, which is weird because he doesn't really follow hockey. We had a really good conversation about all these ideas. No, it was Owen. And I said, am I nuts? Like I think I would rather have Knies than Robertson. I think Knies is, he is not the goal scorer that Robertson is, but I think he's a better all-around player than Robertson is. Robertson is not someone who you're going to be using to kill penalties. Knies killed penalties last year and the year before, I think, with Austin Matthews. Like, he's been a penalty killer. So you've got that piece if you're looking for that piece to replace Tuck. He's never scored 30 goals. 29 was his career high 2 years ago. But it replaces the size, and he's, you know, what the contract is way more palatable, and he's 23 years old. And if I can do that without having to divest myself of the fourth pick, right? If everyone in the league, like, or anyone that's listening to me that thinks I'm crazy that I would trade the fourth pick for Knies, if you're all correct, and like the Leafs know that, they probably want NHL-ish players anyways. They probably would want one of these kids if you take the fourth pick out of it, right? For me, the fourth pick is a way to avoid having to put one of these kids in the deal because they're not that far removed from what the fourth pick could be mm-hmm. for a team. But if you want to put that on the shelf and say, that's too valuable if you're talking about a second-line winger to replace Alex Tuck, which is, you know, ostensibly what we're talking about. If you can do that with 20 and Quinn, or, you know, 20 and one of the kids and McLeod or somebody, like, because the Leafs are looking for NHL players. Look at their depth chart right now. It's like there are some names there that you just are going to go, I don't even know who many of these people are. They still have Tavares and Nylander and Knies for now and Matthews. But, man, after that, it gets pretty thin.
And they have Radish.
That's right, they did that.
An interesting window, perhaps, into what they're thinking, Toronto.
Yeah, maybe.
Pierre LeBrun, most teams don't think that Buffalo will draft at four. Better worded, most teams think that Buffalo will not draft at four.
I think that's because they're probably talking to four, six, ten teams about something to do with, I'll bet they've called Detroit. Hey, can you get, you know, we'll include four. Can you get Larkin to come here? I'd be stunned if they're not doing that.
Well, what was 20? But the move to 20 also, by the way.
Yeah, right.
27 to 20 for Kesselring. We'll see. Don't turn that dial. Not that anybody has a dial anymore. Whatever it is that you have, don't turn it.
Don't press your
Don't
phone.
Press. Don't do anything.
Don't hit
Don't
pause.
Even move. Don't move. Don't. Keep your eyes on the road. Here's Larry with us. Hi, Larry.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. So a couple ideas. You know, I'm kind of with you, Mike. I would really like to see what they do with that pick. But my concern is having Tuck gone, I would love to see us trade with Toronto and get Matthew Knies. And for me, it's a no-brainer for Toronto because you're going to get number one pick. You're going to get McKenna. And then with the fourth pick, you can either get the first or the second-rated defenseman at a much cheaper cost because you're not going to pay him $7.5 million like you're paying Knies, and you can really start rebuilding. So I'd love your thoughts on that. But the other one I was looking at, do you think Winnipeg would take UPL and the 20th pick for Hellebuck? And if not, what do you think it would take? I don't want to give the fourth pick for a goalie. No way, no way, no way. I don't care how good he is. But what do you think it would take to get Hellebuck? I'm thinking the 20th and UPL. I'd love your thoughts.
Good question. It's one that we've discussed.
That's way light, I think.
I think it's probably light. But there have been a couple trades already this week where for a veteran, teams want to get out from certain players and certain money responsibilities. So I'm not sure it would have to be incredible to get him either. But I think they'd want another player. I think 20, Luukkonen, and a good young player might do it.
One of the kids and another roster player, I think, is probably where I'd land. Like a McLeod and a Quinn, or a Quinn, and one of Hellenius or Osland. With 20, I think you don't want to include four, but if you were willing to include four, I think that takes one of the kids off the table for you, right? And that's the trade-off. Like you're like, oh, I don't want to do that for a goalie. Well, okay, then you're going to have to give up this guy. I don't want to give up this guy. Okay, we're back to four. Like I would rather give up four than one of those kids myself right now. I would say that. Because I am optimistic about, I think there's reasons to be optimistic about all of them, even if it's not next year immediately. And I don't know what, for, you just never know. Bird in the hand, I think you've already developed these guys. You're bullish on them becoming important players for you. Sure, there's a long list of great players who were picked at four. There's, I'm sure, a list of guys who completely went bust that were picked at four. Like, it happens. It's a draft. So, the value
even
of it.
Even Bjork?
What's that?
Even Bjork?
Even Bjork. Who knows?
Yeah.
Right.
All right. Thanks, Larry. I mean, appreciate you jumping in with us here. Stephen Ellis, Daily Faceoff, coming up in 20 minutes. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.